No, my phone, because
yeah, you're also afraid you might do something wrong.
Definitely taping out, so. So this was just one for sale, so we didn't really look at.
Yes, we looked at the. You want me to name them?
No.
You probably know them anyway. The one Robin Briggs is on now. We looked
at
that.
Oh, that's so pretty. And
when
you
have trees planted there then.
There must have been a barn there then.
The one below it where our union was, we looked at that. The Andersons were there then.
Yes.
I didn't like the barn actually. I mean, it was. Don't ever tell Harry this.
No, I wouldn't.
He probably takes a considerable
amount of
the house is nice.
The house is
nice.
Yeah, the house is beautiful.
Like
that.
And there's one over on the hill across from Robinson's. I think there was one there we looked at too. In the 100 acres
farm. This is 100 acres
at the time? Yeah. But he was finding another 100.
You bought this from Lowe's?
No.
Yeah.
Walsh.
This one here we bought from Walsh's, but that one we bought from Lowe's.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So,
this 100 acres
with Lowe's.
It was all Walsh's.
Okay.
All
and
Walsh's.
And this, then we bought another 100 when, I guess.
In 1968,
about
that.
So this first 100 goes back
right
to the back of the
road? Right to the other.
Oh, okay.
5 acres wide, 5 by 20.
Yeah, they did that. I noticed on the 7th line, too. Some are 10 by 10 and some are 5 by 20.
Well, the whole lot is 10 by 10, eh? Like, Carl Moffat had the north half of lot 21, we had the south half.
Oh, okay.
But you put them together and maybe 10 by 20, eh?
Yeah.
But they were split at different times, eh? I think this farm, at one point, it did own that farm.
Yeah.
Back
was this house? The original, your home?
No, they had a lot of buildings here, and.
And Ali took it down about 2 years before we came up here. The log house was the end of the.
But that house is made out of the remains of the church that was torn down in 1900.
Yeah, really? When they built the stone church, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
And. So it didn't. It wasn't
all in the living room, you know, in the coming room.
Yes,
the joint. Well, that's from the church down there.
It's really a historical house.
Yeah.
The kitchen was like that too. We took it off and finished it.
So
it brought.
Yeah, I think at some time, you know, especially my grandmother was the same. Her house was relatively old. You want new things. So
we had to enlarge the kitchen and.
Mm-hmm.
So we made it.
So how big was that house when, or what was there when you first came here then?
But
there was one room that wasn't used, one room next to a fish in the barn.
Upstairs.
Okay.
There was only 2 bedrooms used, and used to be a third small bedroom where the bathroom is, but they turned it into a bathroom.
Before we could.
Hadn't been a bathroom too long.
You know, in the kitchen where the sink and the stove over to where the fridge is, that was a shed.
There was 8-foot shed on it. That building was all within one frame.
Oh, okay.
But there was eight
and the kitchen
shed.
Was just
like a summer kitchen type? Or just
no,
a
shed.
For
storage
of wood
and
stuff like that. Yes, they did have a wood stove.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the outhouse up there?
It was on
the way to the barn. I said, Dallas, my heavens, imagine going that far.
Well, ours is quite far from the house, too. We kept ours, down at the other place. Oh, yeah, John used it in the summer.
Yeah.
Because once they're down, you can't build them again.
Oh,
so,
they won't let you.
No, and since our bathroom is way upstairs, he's working outside, you know.
I don't think they'd ever
know
if you built one.
Probably not.
In the back of the building.
But the boot room and the kids' playroom now and the other bedroom downstairs, that was all veranda, just an open veranda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Victor and his brother-in-law closed
it
in.
I don't remember when we did that.
1977.
It's sided, isn't it, now?
Yeah, it was just that false gray brick sort of stuff.
Inca brick?
The house was.
In when we first
yeah,
came.
The house was, not counting the land, the crack. It's closed land.
And the barn, was it pretty well the same, or?
It was pretty well the same, but they had a better coat of paint on it than it's got now. It's all washed off.
Changed it over a lot.
Well, we changed it over in the inside. The cattle were at Crossroads because it was fashioned after the barn, the experimental farm in Ottawa. This farm was built in 1911.
His father.
Ah, okay. And farmed, I guess, at that time for, well, I guess it was cheese factory, mostly milk, okay?
Yeah.
And,
I don't know when all he got his milk, got to ship brewed milk to the areas now, I don't know.
So this was a working farm up until the time you bought it, and then so it hadn't ever stopped milking, really,
no,
okay?
No, no.
And so you just exchanged your cattle for...
Yeah, I kept all this what cattle he had on hand because I bought this under DVA and they didn't want to me to borrow any second loans or anything to borrow the money. So I had to put his leisure day and that probably took me about 2 years to be disposed of.
Was one of the airships or?
No, he had great whole seeds.
How many cattle did you bring with your start with your
airship? 28 head.
And is that yours?
No.
Did you have a milking machine installed or at that time, or did you bring one?
No, you had a milking machine.
The hand milker?
But they weren't magnetic at all. They were just air.
And milking those silver pails, big stainless pails?
They were pails. Yeah. In fact, he had a double unit one, held about 60 pounds or so, a big one.
Yeah.
Okay. Milked two cows at the same time into that one.
Ooh.
And then he had a single one inside of that.
How long did it take you to do milking in this?
Hey, well, that's time and takes us now.
Even with modern technology?
Yeah.
We used to get in about 9:30 at night, though.
Oh, yeah, well,
after all, we had a little work
to do
in the morning. Yeah, so, you would start about 6 in the morning?
I guess so.
At that time, your children came along pretty fast after you were married, but did you milk at first here, or do you You milk by hand?
Well, we had a couple of
cows. Didn't have any children there for a while.
So you
got had more than the cow stalls full. They were in the crossways at that time. They were in the crossways. And we had a row of horse stalls across one end of the barn. Two from horse stalls, this was. And so I had to fill, we had two horses, so we had to fill the rest of the horse stalls with cows, but they had to finish the stalls otherwise. So that made a lot of extra work.
Yeah, yeah, it
would. That used to milk one old cow there in the horse stall.
Oh, he's so cute.
How much do you do at
home? And they're a lot smaller than your shears.
Yeah, so you're kicked over,
I don't think so. I don't even know if the kicky cow.
I don't like cows that kick either. I'm not very good at milking, unfortunately. But in addition to the milk, did you have, you have chickens now, even?
Mm-hmm. We had
chickens. Well, when we came here, all we had was about 20 or 30 hens.
Oh, Bob Ross.
Somewhere in that area. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Leghorns, you remember?
Did he? I thought he had learned
that.
Anyway.
It was just enough for his own use, but they were old, and then they got still older before we got rid of them.
They go make the stew pot?
I don't know whether they were too tough to eat or not.
I guess you were pretty self-sufficient then. Did you have as big a garden? Yeah. Well, I know you're a pretty avid gardener now, but was it your job then, or?
Yeah, we did the gardening.
I didn't have much time.
Yeah. Well, did you have any machinery then, like machinery that went by itself, like tractors?
Well, I took over some machinery Ollie had here. Mm-hmm. I gave him about $3,000.
We still got the first tractor, I think, eh?
We only had his first tractor.
No, but the first one you had, that little red International?
The C with the close wheels. Mm-hmm. And, that was what we had, was a C, and he had a mowing machine for that, and a two-fur plow. Through a mishap of a fellow we had married to
you. You're laughing, I sense a story here.
We lost the front wheels out from underneath it in a tire hole up at in the field there. The tire dug up and I warned the fellow not to hit that hole. And he made one wake around the field, the wheels right in the hole.
Oh, dear.
I cleaned it right off. The wheels were dealt with it and took a chunk off the block. So that kind of fixed the tractor with the little kind of repair. So then I had to go and buy a new tractor, so I bought a new one in 1960 for a deep tractor.
And this young chap says, and he never even fired me.
And you kept him on.
He stayed most of the summer.
He didn't stay all that long because he got a better job in Ottawa. We couldn't compete with the labor market here at that time, eh?
He stayed here for room and, room and board. Mm-hmm.
He did, and then the young wives from around would help sometimes in the summer.
Yeah.
A lot of young people have to sell a lot here.
Yeah. It must have been tough, because I guess your kids...
Well, and Leslie and Cecil and me.
No, Leslie and I, hayed together from 1958 till about 64, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Kind of shared equipment and time.
I had the mower, and that's why I used to do the mowing, and Leslie... Had the baler. I used to give him something for baling.
When did you retire your horse?
Well, I don't know that I ever used them very much, except they're one or two years.
But in
the year. We used to drop them here with the snow with them.
Then you were allowed to keep them, eh?
Not much of a manure spreader at that
time. So stable and set of cows, isn't that it?
Pardon?
You weren't supposed to keep them in the barn with the cows?
Well, I was supposed to kind of separate them.
Yeah. You just gradually increased your herd and increased your machinery and...
Yeah, we had half pens that were kind of large, wooden half pens and crossways with we were using a litter carrier at that time.
Yeah.
Up until 1968.
To take it from one end to the other and then you had a chain
down the rows like that,
and,
eh?
And then you went out the door and up to get into the manure spreader, whatever it was.
Spread you around then, or?
Well, mostly, I think. Snow got too deep on driven, it wasn't, driven by...
Oh, okay.
So you had to...
You had to be moving.
Yeah, that must have been a lot of work.
Yeah.
Meantime, your kids would be just young. I mean, you had the five pretty well close. Six. Keep losing count. They came along pretty close together, so you must have been pretty busy in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you manage?
Usually two or three indictors at the same time.
How did you manage?
I don't know. You just do everybody. I mean, everybody around here had at that time had a lot of children, and you know, Moffitt's had six, and Armstrong's had seven, and Corey's had five, Frieda had five.
With all of them so young, how did you keep track of them?
Yeah.
I can imagine that, because you had your normal work to do in the house and meals to get and things like that.
I don't know, we just sometimes they escaped.
Do you take them to the barn with you?
Boy, the boys are always great to want to help the barn. Geez. Their school, about 6 or 7 years old, they'd be out the barn, they'd almost make you laugh. They had these toy shovels and that. They'd want me to get the manure carrier around and get it rolled down. And they'd get into the gutter and they'd shovel manure into that these toys. It's surprising how much they do too while I was milking yourself. You know?
Yeah, well, it doesn't take long. I know Tyler's really interested in the barn now. Yeah. And at a young age, I guess they...
Well, they used to come out and they used to go out in the carriage and then Victor would, they got over, build places where they could stay in, you know, and circle the straw or bales or something.
Did you do much out in the barn after the kids came along, or?
I used to, after breakfast, I'd go out and help clean the barrels, wash the milkers.
In those days, the milkers had to wash by hand, and after
the
long, in 1965, you had to wash the whole tank too.
Yeah. Did you, was there hot water at the barn, or how did you work, or did you?
Yeah, there was hot water at the barn.
Well, not until I was 65.
No, that's right. What did we do?
Well, we had a hot water thing inside in the barn.
A hot water tank, or whatever.
Yeah.
We used to have to wash the cows too.
We had hot water for calves, feeding calves.
Mixing beet pulp.
Is that what you said?
At one point, I remember mixing it up.
It sounds dreadful to me.
But I certainly didn't want to eat it.
Yes,
the cows really liked it.
Well, I guess that must have been one of the only purchased things. Or did you grow your beets?
No. It's a little tiny sort of pellet.
Oh, yeah, well, most of it, one point, I was one of the ones that used a peat mobile. There wasn't too many used it around here. I know everybody seemed to have their own hammer mill for grinding their own oats and barley and that. When I first came here, we used to get a great Lancasters, they got an auger on their truck or something, and it wouldn't fit into our building, so.
Oh, a lot of your feet though? I only need 2 and a half.
Not a lot of oats, not really enough of grain.
Mainly hay and corn, or?
I always had lots of hay and always lots of corn.
Do you have your own machinery for your corn, or did you get that,
between us here, we had forage wagons and that. We always had them drive off with a tarp that you laid on the box, on the box, like a flat hay rack, back to you. And you had a trough that sat up in the silo that fell into like corn hay, at least you helped them.
The harvester in the field was
usually owned by Cecil or Leslie Armstrong. Originally, when I first started here, it used to be Armstrong's, Lowe's, Waltz and Bars, and Cecil Waltz, and us that we did our.
I imagine it wasn't, farms weren't quite as big then either, so.
No, we only had a small silo. I mean, ours was only 14 by 28.
Was your silo here?
Wooden silo at the back of the barn there.
Yeah. Victor built this one.
Yeah.
But there was a wooden one behind the barn.
I think we put up about 60 or 69.
When did you buy this land here, or was it?
I think that was about 68 too.
Well, your actual farm is 200. I know you rent a lot more now, but.
Well, we all rent 100.
Because Garrett's still got 10, the buildings and 10 acres, eh?
We used to always rent 100 acres somewhere, eh? Rented from Charlie down the pit there. I came here and I rented for
Ladisers.
Then we rented Ladisers. 1 year at Lars and St. Pierre's there at Lars 1 year.
It's a long way to go, isn't it?
They weren't very good friends, but it was sandy.
A long way to go to
kept the house.
Well, it's only 3 miles, 3-4 miles.
Mm-hmm. How did you get your Did you walk them over?
Chase them, eh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just across the field.
Oh.
Yeah, and then we're on Aston's Road, and it was right at the end of
Aston's Road. Was on the way?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd want to go now.
I mean, that's a road with a dirt road. You know, there's no...
Just gravel road. Yeah. All the roads around here were just gravel then.
Yeah. Except
some four potholes.
Yeah. That must be amazing to want.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you'd do it now. I mean, mind you, a couple of years ago, Bill Hannenberg did it down our road. He took his effort. He was pledging Jack.
Well, they take him from, well,
oh, yeah.
Came in.
From here up the...
Yeah. They usually come across and down the back lane.
Yeah.
Up to Leslie's.
Well, it's easier than putting them on a truck, I guess, then.
Yeah.
Cheaper.
Cheaper? Not a lot cheaper,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you, I guess once the kids got older, then that kind of helped you out in the work department for that.
Yeah. One summer we employed a fellow through, what do you call it, in Ottawa, the workman's people that needed jobs. This young fellow came up from Nova Scotia, he worked here in the summer.
Yeah.
He helped us to...
His brother? They used to live over where Judy lives, Judy Warren?
Oh, yeah.
That's her, well, they were her cousins.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And Alan Lowe, worked here in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these lads are all getting young men.
Not interested in farming anymore or working that kind of labor? Or?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't want any police force, for one thing.
Yeah.
Barry worked at...
Barry got married and worked on the roads or something.
In the road department. He's got a good job, too, now.
Every summer just to help with the hay. We can't keep them past 14. They don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
It's hard to get kids.
Well,
yeah.
They are interested. Yeah.
It's hard work. And I'm not sure how long they're
interested.
But,
Dugdale's, too. Stephen Dugdale worked here.
Stephen Dugdale, yeah.
One or two summers, eh?
To do hay?
Yeah. Well, of course, in summertime.
Yeah, that's a harder thing, too, than it is now.
Well, he lived on a farm and he knew what the score was too.
Yeah. Did you do haying at all or having those bales?
Yeah.
Or drive the tractor or?
Well, she used to help on the old quite a lot.
Yeah.
Down there and she slung them off so fast. The basically had red
the feet. I thought it was supposed to be like, I get hot.
But that's hard work. About how many bales were you doing back then compared to now, or were you doing?
Well, we used to put up around 5,000, I guess, or so, maybe more. Well, today they put up a lot of round bales and some square ones. And, and 1 year here, the boys put up the first or second half, and a lot of
That's a lot of work. I guess once they got older, that kept you kind of busy in the kitchen once they got to eating levels.
Yeah, I mean, when they got older, I used to still, as long as they went to school, I watched the milkers.
Yeah.
But until we got the, well, I've never worked with the pipeline milker, but anyway.
Yeah.
But they used to take turns. There would always be one of them in the house at night. There would be four of them who would go out. And the one that stayed in at night had to help with the dishes.
So it's very old enough then,
yeah, but we did.
Did that flow too?
She did for a while until she persuaded the three boys that she would be more help in the house.
Maybe she wasn't cut out to...
She always used to have to put the milkers together at night and all that when she came home from school, but that was... But she used to help in the summertime, too, with the haying.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's all hands get to work in the summer. I guess in the 60s, well, I was a kid then, but out here, and it still was fairly isolated from the city. What did you like to do for entertainment, or did you always work?
We always kept the nose to grindstone. That's the trouble with that.
Used to, when the kids got a bit bigger, every year on our anniversary, we'd take the kids and we'd go to a movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess a long trip in Ottawa, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that far back, you know.
No, I know, but I just remember any time in a car seemed long to me when you fixed it. But,
well, it seems like time.
We used to go to Montreal once or twice a year, too.
Well, Wilson did, too, I remember once, and Barry. Was able to, he and Terry would do it, yeah. Because yeah. we never went away for more than Saturday and Sunday together.
Yeah. Eastern Township, so that's a fair drive, so.
It was before
Expo.
Yeah.
But Expo, and then in the new Otter route there, it's a short in the distance a lot. It's down to about 45 miles now from Montreal.
Do you ever think that you'd do anything else except farm?
No, I never really. I guess that's all too stupid to do it now.
That's my
Well, right after the war, my brother was thinking of going to getting back into the graduates, since he'd had a little do that before the war. So we started hitchhiking up to Ontario here from Montreal, and we were sitting on the side of the road waiting to try to get somebody to take us out. We were still in uniform then. And I remember we got talking. Thought, well, it would be another damn depression coming right after the war, same as it was after the first war, right? So maybe we could do just as well get on the farm where we at least have enough to eat.
We
quit the trip we were started out to do. I forget where you was. It was somewhere maybe Belleville or farther than that, I guess. Some went back to the Eastern Townships. And farm this person had this farm for sale, you see. He thought he'd sell it. His wife wasn't well. And I was married and I wasn't there, so the farm, we had to have kind of solid partnership because going under the DVA.
Okay, did you have to be married to get your DVA then?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you did.
Well,
no, Victor. All have got her DVA stuff.
That is not DVA. That's not borrowing money to buy land. That is what they called.
Wasn't it VLA? VLA.
They're under the requirement DVA, all right, but still.
I
didn't know you had to be married to get a farm from the DVA.
Or a mortgage, or
I don't
whatever.
Think they'd give you a mortgage without being married, and probably you're not married.
Well, people do it.
Some of these bachelors do all right. But
I mean, look at your own brother.
Their farms are
all
come from one generation to the other.
So you started with your DVA, and
we'd go farming, so try farming, so us know right away. So that first went to them and cut them for wood and lumber, thought we were doing big things, and passed the winter that way. But by spring, then the fellow told us that he would sell. We went through the DV thing, my brother went through.
VLA. But,
got a loan through Veterans Land Bank.
I asked Vicki if you ever regretted farming. Maybe this is the wrong question to ask, if it's sitting in the room. Do you ever regret farming?
No.
Can you imagine any other?
No. I can't imagine bringing up children in the city, not in this day and age.
Yeah.
Or any time I never would have.
Even in the 60s? No?
No. Although I didn't care for the city, so.
And yet you lived in Montreal, which is one of the biggest in Canada. I mean, it's so.
Yeah, but it didn't seem so big, I suppose, maybe because I'd always lived there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're used to it, it doesn't seem.
So you always were country at heart?
Yeah.
Well,
we lived out in the country
before the war
and during the war. Well, my father was overseas. Mm-hmm. We lived out in Moulton, which isn't too far from home center.
Well, you lived numerous places, didn't you?
We lived in Moulton and Bonneville.
Yeah, but I thought that you lived at St. John's there.
We lived at Richelieu before the war.
Was it hard when you decided to move up here to leave all your families and your relatives and all that? Do you think it was, I don't have relatives here, and I know I miss my family, kind of thing. But I've always been away from home, so. But, you visit once or twice a year, but,
More my side of the family, I guess, than them, because we moved up here, and then Beth's mother and father moved up here right after us.
They moved up north.
Well, yes, but, I mean, your father was still working with the government, and he worked. Mm-hmm. He lived here for the first winter, and then the next year they went up to Yellowknife.
Yellowknife, Fort Smith. Good Lord. It's a long way.
Yeah, well, he was the assistant administrator for the Northwest Territories.
Yeah.
And they worked up there, and then they moved to Yellowknife. And then he came down here and worked for a year to his retirement.
It's a very important job.
Oh, I guess.
It sounds important. Oh, pretty isolated.
Oh, paperwork.
Oh, they not isolated. I mean, made it more entertaining than we ever even thought.
Yeah.
Everybody goes north, has to go to the administrator of that aid. I think that's all they would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine.
They get a lot of entertaining. The people who would go up from Ottawa would stay with them. And
yeah.
Entertain the
government
gentlemen, yeah. No, that sounds important.
They were very nice. They were very impressed with them.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a fairly,
prestigious job. It was, I guess.
John
came back here in 65 and then he worked for the government for a few more years and retired.
That one after they came down here?
The 60s, I guess, it's hard to talk about the 50s because you weren't around here then, was, especially for women in the country, there was a lot of social activities, WI and that kind of thing.
Guild, yeah.
And the guild and that. Did you join those or?
I didn't join the institute or the women's institute, but I did belong to the guild.
Okay. What kind of things would you do, like?
They met at different ladies' houses in the village at that point. And
is it like WI or?
It's like ACW. And that's what the ACW used to be called, with the guild.
Okay.
Yeah. And they do some quilting, but never at the meetings. But they have boxes of stuff, and you take home knitting to do, or sewing, or stuff like this, you know. And it was nice. It was very friendly. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, I imagine that was one of the few opportunities in rural.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in rural areas where a lot of women didn't drive then.
That's
and,
right.
I
mean, they're great, and I walk them to lots of meetings.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I suppose it would be, just down there, but it's not there.
Or up to Hayes's.
Yeah.
Not Hayes, but Walsh. Oh, yeah. And Adrian Hayes.
And you worked, you didn't socialize, right?
She belonged to the Brotherhood Anglican Churchman there for a while.
Is that like
it's like the guild except for men. Mm-hmm. They didn't have as many meetings, did they?
Is
that like being a deacon or?
Oh, no, it's just like a men's group of the church.
Oh, right, okay. Well, the ACW and WR, I guess the two organizations that are the biggest out here for that kind of thing, for getting together, women getting together.
Well, it used to be, when I first came here, it was the WA, which was the women's auxiliary for the church. I know Grace belonged to that and some of the other ladies. But they met in the afternoon, and I didn't. I went to one over at Grace's once. That was all.
With all those children, I'm amazed you had time to do anything.
Well, it was.
What about like going to town and grocery shopping and all that kind of thing? Was that?
You drove, didn't you?
No, you didn't.
Oh no, I didn't drive until 1969. Yeah, I learned to drive in 1969.
Why did you wait that long? Or was it just something you decided to do?
That's something I decided to do. Yeah.
Well, most days we had a shift, a kind of a standard shift, I guess it was, and she learned some on that, man.
Yeah.
The media was a standard shift, wasn't it?
Don't ask me, Victor. I don't remember.
It's hard to learn and get coordinate your head and speed a little bit.
I remember my father teaching my mother to drive when we were little, and we'd be in the back seat, and it wasn't a friendly conversation.
Quite right.
This was in the late 50s, I guess, mm-hmm. and he was teaching her, and we were about 3, 4, and 5. And, but she learned.
Yeah.
But it,
I think that nowadays, I don't think any woman should not know how to drive. Really?
Yeah, I don't. It's hard to find. Well, some still don't, but I
yeah,
really
some
don't.
Some that don't.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, some don't like them, but especially if you live in the country, I think it's almost a case of necessity.
Yeah. Oh yes, I can imagine because if you're isolated, well, you're very fortunate. You have your family.
Yeah.
But there's places, you know. If Victor broke his leg, I mean, somebody's got to drive that vehicle.
Yeah, that's right.
But are your kids or your boys all decided to farm? Do you, like that seems strange to me that all of them were, you know, decided.
Well, Timothy
to farm.
Was the one who always wanted to farm, and he went to Kentville.
Mm-hmm.
But the other boys went and worked in town,
mm-hmm.
and then they decided they wanted to farm, so they came back.
That must make you really proud of them that they all decided to do what you did.
If they really have an interest in it, I don't mind the farming. I think that they do probably.
They all have interest in different sort of aspects of it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Can you explain that Chris is, I guess, is your financial person.
Yeah.
And this and that. So yes, Tim is the animal kind of,
yeah.
you know,
Chris
person. And that kind of thing, which is good, but it's unusual in this day and age to have a family as close-knit to kind of do have the same career. And
well,
make
all
of it.
Too, it's quite a thing, you know.
Yeah.
I find that amazing.
Get along as well as they do. They never seem to have any words for each other.
Oh, well, they do. They have their disagreements, but who doesn't? But
yes.
Well, you never hear them talking
and
arguing.
Oh, do you miss not being as involved? I know you say you're asking to them here and there, but...
No, not.
Don't,
sure,
being
I think
in
you
charge?
Do.
But you get bored when
it's natural, I would think.
Well,
so.
Sometimes I get bored, but if I get bored, I go and do something.
You don't miss the day-to-day, yeah?
No, you can't. You can't hate it when you get so old, you know.
Well, you're not that old.
Well, how old did you say I was?
No,
I'm not going to
put a yellow mask
on. No, I don't know. But I'd say you're fairly young. You should still be able to put in a good day here. No.
Everybody thinks that. That's the trouble. I look too young.
No, I just want to try and, I guess, understand that was it hard when you decided that the farm, you were going to stop farming, or not stop, but retire and leave it more to the boys, or have them buy the farm?
Well,
was it a big decision and a long decision?
I hear the people that, I know one person, the fellow telling me the other day, that he's, I don't know, well up in his 70s,
And here he is shacking around on a tractor in the field, and his son, who is supposed to be managing and running the farm, is telling him, well, that field's not quite ready yet. We'll leave it a little bit longer. Well, I don't do that. I mean, they can make their own decisions.
And you have probably the wisdom of years of being doing it, where they're...
Yeah, well, because they were around, been around for quite a few years, too, so they should have gotten on some of it.
I'm sure they have. But was it a long decision, like, to decide that
no.
for them to buy?
They had little meetings amongst themselves.
They wanted to incorporate the farm, so that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. When the boys decided to come back from town.
Mm-hmm.
And the dollars difference, too.
Eh?
A good many dollars to incorporate it, but we incorporated.
Yeah. Yeah, tax reasons. I guess now things are so complicated that the lawyers like to do everything. Sometimes it seems complicated, but it usually works. You have one of the most successful farms in the county, but you win these awards and your cattle are good and that kind of thing. What do you think got that, or how do you think you arrived at that? Is it just hard work, or do you think you had some luck in there? What do you think you did that maybe somebody else didn't?
Well, I can't blow my own horn. Otherwise,
I think you should try.
I think we're very careful with our money.
Yeah.
Too. So you didn't go, like, a lot of the farmers that wound up in trouble in the 70s was because they started to expand too fast for control. Like, at least what you read in the papers, the bankers came to them and said, put up 6 blue silos and you'll make a fortune. And I guess you didn't go with that philosophy.
A lot of people did that, were people that were buying farms at that time. I think they were doing that. They didn't realize how little money or how much money they had to spend.
Yeah. I think this might be odd too, but I know you've been very frugal over the years, but you've been managed to, because of that, you have a successful farm. Do you think you missed any of the stuff from the city, being able to go out for supper, stuff like that?
I don't think so. I don't think we particularly. I would have liked to have taken a few more trips back home. And then when you think traveling with 6 kids, it's sometimes...
Yeah.
But since then, since the kids have been grown up, we've taken several trips. And
yeah.
Really enjoyed them.
Yes, you went to New Zealand for this?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. But
yeah. I heard your daughter with them.
Oh yeah, yeah. And Tim.
And Tim.
Yeah.
That's and Tim and I
yeah.
This was on an exchange or?
No. This was an Ayrshire World Conference trip. Arranged for you there, and I suppose we probably. Maybe we got it cheaper than the travel agency. I don't know. Well, I guess it does.
But I think you probably would.
The time we went to Australia and New Zealand, their money was quite high, so maybe it cost us more than it would some other time, because about a year or two after we came back from that, their money dropped to about three-quarters of the value of ours, and it would have made the cheap trips cheaper. They weren't that bad, actually.
Yeah, this was several years ago, so you...
Yeah, it was 1981.
So you've been involved with kind of the Ayrshire Association and
improvements
in the herd.
Yeah, I went over to Scotland in 1877 on the same
day. That was the first time we went away.
Well, it was...
It's been a nice trip.
There was another conference. This conference business started here in Canada.
Yeah.
At the Royal Winnifair, and I think it started in 69 or something like that, one of those years. Next time I think it was in
Finland.
Finland.
Yeah.
About 80 or 85% of our cattle are red and white cattle are issued there. And then in 77, we went to Britain.
Wanda
was in Australia and New Zealand, and 80.
Oh, it was over in Africa,
that
in Kenya. We didn't go for that one.
A little warm maybe over there.
And the last one now, just this past fall, was held in the United States.
That was Madison, I think.
Yeah, we went to that. It started in New York City and worked its way across and ended up in New Mexico.
Oh.
We didn't go as far as Mexico.
But I know you went to
Florida.
We went, to Iowa, in fact.
They usually divided it into two different stages.
I think Jamie Cotton said one of his cows. So it's only every 4 years, or it's all the time?
Yeah, 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, most supposed to be every 4 years.
Next one's going to be in Norway.
Are you going?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that would be a nice trip too, I'm sure.
Well, no, after this one down here, there was so many old people on this trip, considered people that weren't farming. But I think they're beginning to think that into two different parks, this trip itself, wherever they go, will be more for socializing people
and then a working tour,
whether you're connected to farming or not, or something.
Yeah, with just for a short time, so that younger people can go, but not have to spend so much money, you know, for the whole
tour.
Trip.
Yeah, because I'm sure you get a lot of information. What? Obviously, you've gone to these conferences for a vacation, and you think they're going to help you learn more about the breed. But what do you think of, a lot of farmers now? Well, your son went to Camp Phil, and do you think that that kind of education helps them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And it gives them a lot of connections of people that they run across, you know, in years' time that might tell them something new, or, you know, just broadens their whole outlook.
Do you think you could be successful without it? Like, you obviously were, but now technology changes, and or do you think you need more education?
Well, I think something like flying an airplane, I think you've got to have a little something to see to your pants, too.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. But there's a lot of farmers who say that they did so well and they didn't have to
said one time here, he says, you used to be able to lead any darn fool on the farm, but today he says they got no little something.
Yep,
which isn't the evaluation of
that. But I don't think that.
But did you learn as you went? You wouldn't have been interested, if you had just been interested in plain farming, you may have been able to lead anyone here, but obviously you did some reading, you wanted to improve your herd, and got involved with the Ayrshire Association somewhat.
Yeah, well, it'd been the same thing if I'd had any other breed of cattle. I mean, I'd gone for...
You're not working on tests? I thought you had to.
Yes, there's a lot of them.
Oh, no, you don't have to be on tests.
There's only about 50% of the cattle in the country are on tests.
Oh, I thought you had to be.
No, I mean on milk sampling, you know.
Yeah,
to tell the amount that a cow gives, and then her butterfat test and her protein test.
It's a compulsory.
Oh, I thought
no, it's not compulsory. It's
oh, okay.
Completely voluntary.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's when you have beef. Dairy, but we don't know these things. With the improvements, what do you think of these wonderful cattle over across the road here? Are you involved in that at all?
No, I'm not the Royal Flush Air Shoes.
The
I haven't even got any money invested in it.
Can't afford it.
Well, now you're retired, you're getting milk check every month, I guess.
The old age pension instead.
Yeah, and that isn't too good these days, I hear.
No.
But with rising taxes. But I don't know much about these special cattle, but they seem to be expensive animals that I'm not sure what they're there for. Or do they improve the breed, do you think, these?
Oh yes, no, I mean that's what they're hoping to do, but they're doing it through embryo, they pay a lot for them, cattle, I think, and to export to other countries too, and that's...
And expand the breed.
If there's a demand for the embryos,
Science is wonderful.
At the cost of the cow that they originally paid for it, in a way.
You will be sorry you didn't invest then.
Well, it depends. We'll see how many embryos the cow comes along with.
She only needs six more.
Oh, that's just for that much bit.
Yeah.
Then she'll have to give at least that many more or more besides to create any profit.
Oh, sickness break even.
No, 30 embryos is about half the cost, so she'll have to have 60 to 75 embryos to clear the cost of the kale.
Yes, but to clear their thing with EBI, they just need six more embryos from her.
Well, that's just all they want, I guess.
When did you first start using AI in your herd?
Just as soon as you came up here. Always used it except for about 2 years. We had a bull here for 2 years. My brother had him down in Quebec and thought he was a good bull, so we brought him up here. I started as soon as he came up here, wasn't it, 58?
I don't know, I suppose, bulls, probably.
Because Don Graham was a technician
from
Russell. He used to cover a big area because it didn't have as many...
Trickier getting them bred that way, because I know now when you call your breeders.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah, because
they were just starting up too, weren't they?
It was new to me. Well, they'd been at it right after the war, but.
Really?
Yeah, they had, but I mean, they hadn't bred. I mean, a lot of the farms hadn't taken them on, and they hadn't done that much with it, really, probably. But they were using it. A lot of farms were
Like, could he get here within, like, if you called?
Well, as long as he came the same day that you called, that's all you could expect.
Yeah.
He would, you know.
So it was not about the same,
about
as,
the same as it is today.
Yeah. It's just managing to make sure your cow wasn't going through.
You have to make sure you got your call in before 7:32, isn't it, ever?
I guess I don't really remember.
I know now you have to call before.
It's about 9 or 9:30
a.m.
Or maybe it was then too, but it seemed to me I had 7:30 in my mind.
Do you always like pasture your cows in the summer?
Yeah, they've always pastured.
First two, you always keep them on all summer too. Did you raise steers back then? I know you raise two now. Yeah, they sold a few a month or two ago, I think. Did you use the sale barn back then for your bull calves? I've heard in
always
the 60s there was
a sale barn because I felt I was never competent enough to judge what an animal weighed, and I always felt I was getting beat by a drove.
Well, those Valerians don't weigh too much. But I heard stories at the sale you almost had to give those calves away too, like even Holstein calves. I mean,
at one point, I guess.
There wasn't much demand for them.
Yeah. Oh, it's been times, all right. In the 1960s, there was a point in there where cattle were sold for about $200 to $300 for a milk cow, you know, or a milking heifer, which wasn't
the size of her, but a cow in milk, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
No, what I mean for milking purposes.
Yeah, like a Springer or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. I know they're expensive, and even more if they're purebred. I mean, they can go for quite a price.
Well, I guess grades go. Holstein grades will go for $700 or $800, but sometimes.
Okay. Do you know slaughtering? And
no, I've never slaughtered here. We always use the slaughter here, say. We never slaughtered one here, did we?
Buck.
Victor did. I wouldn't have high cleaning. Kill them.
Yeah, I went over to Frida's last year and she showed me how to do it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to learn for myself. And I still don't think I'd be very good
at
killing them anyway. Mm-hmm. But I tried to kill one. I didn't kill
her. Can't chop the head off one?
She doesn't. She hangs them and
sticks them.
Yeah.
Does she?
Yeah,
you
and then
know, I used to try that years
she
ago.
She puts it through the neck and then through the brain. And she says through the brain it does something about the feathers. Or
it loosens the feathers.
Yeah.
And then she puts it in the water.
I tried that years ago through the bill and up into the brain.
Yeah, that's where she goes, right. Through the top of the mouth.
Horrible.
But when I she killed a few, and then she asked me to, and I just, it was wiggling too much.
Yeah.
I didn't kill it very cleanly, but anyway, I learned how to do it, so they're not hard to clean once they're dead.
Oh, no, I don't mind cleaning them.
Reach in there, and everything comes out.
Yeah.
But you do chickens and eggs, and like for your own use, basically.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You always just dared. You didn't have some farmers have this kind of diversity, like they sold all the things or pigs or whatever.
Raise pigs and poultry and everything like that. No, we've always specialized in milk, so.
Yeah, pigs, didn't you? I mean, with Stan.
Well, at one point we did, yes. We carried water over one summer and we thought we made $20 out of it. We didn't have running water in the current then, so. We kept track, we kept books then. We never weren't making any money at all.
Many pig farmers make money today either.
Pardon?
Many pig farmers, I don't think they're making money today either.
Well,
no.
Not too much. We, our pigs did get rhinitis too, and
that is the nose thing, yeah.
And that slows their growth a lot too, and that.
Yeah, you're not allowed to sell them now with rhinitis.
So we clean them right out in a way.
Just maintain the dairy cattle and that's it.
Here, that's all we had, yeah. But an eye after the war, I kept the hens there for, about 150 hens. Just a little flock, yeah. Well, I used to ship hatching eggs to Fred Bray at Hamilton. And you buy your feed. We all bought all our own feed down there in Quebec. They don't grow it. They don't even grow any oats, you know. The feed for them, you've got nothing left. I think the best year I ever had on the hens, and we used to get well paid for hatching eggs too, because we get, if your eggs hatched over 70%, you got. Like, if you got up to 90% hatch, you got quite a good bonus.
Mm-hmm.
You got the market price on the eggs plus the bonus.
Oh, yeah, I see.
And I think the best year I ever made was about $450 for on the year's work for the hens. Of course, in those days, a dollar was a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't include your labor as much as, well, and farming, you still don't,
no.
I don't think.
No, all in all, you don't.
But, and I guess when, I guess grew a lot of your own food too, that must have, you must have done a lot of preserving and.
Yeah,
and
we put a lot up in the freezer too.
Yeah, the, canning and, did you can your vegetables or freeze them then?
I
canned,
suppose.
Did we?
Well, put them in jars.
Yeah, but not pressure can,
No.
There was a canner hanging down in the shed here for years. I don't know where it went, but maybe still there.
I got one. Is that right?
Yeah.
It blew up.
Well, we used to do it down in the townships.
Yeah, my mother used to do some, but...
Did you can meat or...
Yeah,
or
we canned meat.
Beans, peas.
Yeah, well, freeze are so handy now. I guess it's a lot easier to.
I do tomatoes and beans in the jars.
Beans and that frozen are nowhere near as good as they were canned, though.
Well, I think they must lose something in freshness, but freezing it takes nothing to it.
Yeah.
You just boil and you're in. So you probably didn't have to buy a lot of meat or.
Well, no, we had our. We always killed a beef or a cow or something.
Yes, I tried Ayrshire steaks a couple of weeks ago and they're not bad.
Yeah.
The one
we're
eating on the
last cat. Yes, Trina didn't like it.
You have to cook it for a day and a half, really.
Well, this is an old cow. She was 7 or 8 years old and I'll never do that again. I told the boys I didn't think she'd be worth it.
Who's that?
Daddy there?
Yeah?
What do you want?
What did you figure out about the chainsaw the other day?
I did really get around figuring out, Chris, but what I was thinking, I was taking out the spark plug and getting a new spark plug for it.
Yeah.
See if that makes any difference, eh? Because it's never been changed. If that doesn't work, then we'll take it to somebody else, let them adjust it. We've got a fence to make up here. The neighbors say he's doing it without his fence.
Oh, are you still having a sheep problem?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You were
here at lunchtime, I know.
Yeah.
we've only got four and we're having problems with her. Yeah. We were down at Sam Neely's the other day. I nearly died.
Her blood in this lawn.
Yeah. Well, I worry because if somebody hits one on the road, my gosh, we'll be sued.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much damage four of them will do in the hayfield. We've got a good hayfield and we've got a not so good one.
They keep clipping it off. They want
and
to get into it.
Even just four of them?
Well, they need patches, that's for sure.
Yeah, John wants me to get rid of all of them.
Well, you can put up a fence and control them, can't you?
Well, if not, there is a fence. They, you have to have a pretty good fence to keep sheep out.
Well, cage wire, yeah.
And we just have, somebody said electric. Well, Terry Lowe down here, we have all those sheep now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to her a few times about her sheep, and she said electric is the best. Because once you turn it up for a couple of days, and, you know, they get zapped once or twice.
Yeah.
And I said, what about people getting zapped? He said, well, my wife's got zapped a couple of times. But, and you learn. So we might try that. And actually for the cattle, too, I might try.
She's quite a girl.
She's fantastic.
Geez, I bet she's drawing in a salary down there, the work she's doing.
It's hard.
And Terry makes good money, too.
I didn't know he worked. Does he work off the farm?
Yeah, he's a welder and works for CN.
Oh, yeah, he
would. He comes home early in the afternoon, about 2 o'clock. Probably goes to work at 7 or so, afternoon or something.
Yeah, they've got a lot of, she's lucky to have a job at home, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And plus those 100 sheep, and she wasn't well last year either. So I'm amazed how she carries on.
Yeah.
She's just an amazing person. But,
Yeah,
well.
She wasn't a consultant for some time.
Yeah, she's a professional fundraiser,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's a professional fundraiser.
To hire her to raise me some funds.
John Lowell, that's Terry's father, was telling me the last time that I talked to him that she, maybe it wasn't that long.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they made up the cash if she went down there for that.
if she travels on business, they're usually pretty good. But I think she likes having a job that she can stay at home with. And plus all her sheep.
Well, she has a computer, I guess, at it all.
Yeah. Of work, I'm sure she puts a lot of hours on it. Well, I've got a lot of information. I'm sure this tape is must be
Four chips.
But I think I've covered pretty well everything I want. I just one question maybe I'd like to ask, and is you kind of farmed when you farmed in the 50s and 60s. You farmed in an age where the machinery started coming pretty fast and furious with all improvements and that kind of thing. That must have been quite something to see. Like, you started farming when there was horses pretty well doing a lot.
In the late 40s, right after the war, where we started, we didn't have any tractors then.
Mm-hmm.
We were using horses. They told me it was just about the same as that here.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought, down in Quebec, our first tractor, second-hand Ford, small Ford in 1949, between the size of the tractors they bought then and what they buy today.
Oh yes, I imagine, yeah. There'd be no comparison.
Yeah. They just get small machinery to go with these small tractors and the machinery again, and it's just a vicious circle. I mean, the company that made these larger tractors to start with, everybody would have started with a larger tractor and larger machinery and saved all this buying in and out between times.
How did you make a decision when you went to buy a piece of machinery? Did you get farm journals or salesmen or?
No, I figured I needed a person.
Well, there's also brands to.
Yeah, I didn't buy it just for the sake of buying a piece of machinery. There wasn't any prestige as far as I was concerned. I never bought it unless I considered it was going to make me money.
And how did you decide, like, if, there's bad machinery that was built and there's good machinery that was built. Like, did you...
For brands of machinery, you mean?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Well, I haven't followed the New Holland, a lot of New Holland machinery, and I still think that they're one of the best brands made. They seem to last the longest there.
So New Holland dealer around here then, or?
Ollie was here. He did a little dealing after he left here around Russell. He bought a small place.
then he bought out a machinery dealer who was in Emmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the New Holland dealership. And then machinery just starting to move at that time, and always sold a lot of it.
Yeah.
Russell. He set up shop in Russell.
I see, okay.
But he still, he knew everybody in this.
One of the most common complaints that I've read, at least in a couple of magazines that I get, is that the women of the household used to get annoyed when the husband could buy machinery and she couldn't get a new rug. Is that true, or did it bother you? Now you've got your house.
The one thing that I wish that we had a lot sooner than we did was a dryer. That's the one thing.
When did you get
thing.
A dryer?
Oh, well, you were younger than me.
Don't worry. Drape and diapers around in the living room because that was we didn't have a furnace at that point. We had a space heater, they called it.
Was it one of those oil things? Or?
Yeah, it was a
oil space.
Lay round, and I had a clothes rack. My mother had given it.
They always had oil in the furnace here, but it was a space heater.
Oh, yeah.
And when we came here, it was a wood stove in the kitchen. Did we have that for long?
Until you made the new kitchen. Yeah.
And then we put in an oil furnace to get some oil.
Yeah.
You cooked on wood first.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like it. I'd love a wood stove.
I would too. My grandmother, and we still have a wood stove, but my grandmother's, but... It just
like
looks
heat
better.
Wood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Drier, it's cleaner.
And you have a warming oven and off. I don't.
The reservoir on the back.
Yeah.
Nice hot water all the time. So your dryer, when did you get your dryer?
1968 or something.
That's a lot of years carrying out laundry with five kids.
Yeah.
Or hanging it around the house.
Yeah.
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 I guess she never carried out laundry, or she might have got a dryer sooner.
She says she hung around the house to her
food.
In
the wintertime, yeah.
Sometimes I was at a clothesline to hang it out on.
Yeah. I didn't mind the summertime, but sure, in the wintertime.
And now there's a lot of women who would give anything to have a clothesline and can't.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
There's laws, you can't.
I know. I just can't.
You can't have a clothesline.
In cities?
Yeah. A law.
Yeah, yeah. The laws can't do it. I don't care.
I won't put that on the story.
All they're going to do is listen to this and pick up what they want out of it.
Yeah. So you bought, when you bought machinery and that kind of thing, mainly New Holland, but did you, like, as soon as, if you're a baler, like, you just kept it till it was finished, or did you?
Yeah, we're still running the same baler date I bought in 1964. It's a New Holland too.
It's lasted a long time.
It baled a good many bales.
Yes, I imagine.
That's 25 years, eh?
Yeah, and didn't we get the typewriter when you bought that?
Yeah, they were giving away typewriters with them.
A little furnace, yeah, a little portable.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And another time I bought another piece of machinery and they were giving away intercoms. So we had an intercom for years between the house and the barn. Not the one they've got now, but it was bigger speakers.
I guess that must have been a big...
Oh, that was a real boon. Not have to run out to the barn after Vic, if somebody phoned or something.
Well, of course, we could have had a phone too, but then that'd be another expense, which we didn't have.
Well, somebody told me anybody who phones a dairy farm between 6 and 8 ought to know better.
Because it's necessary.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know.
There's a lot of people have phones in the barn. It's
really
handy too.
Yeah, although if you go and answer the phone, you chit-chat, and you leave your milker on too long, you could have a good case for that thing.
You got a good case for not carrying on a long conversation.
Yes, that's true. Mm. That's true. So you started really with hand milking and you came all the way through to...
I always had milking machines since 1946.
Yeah, but when you were growing up...
Growing up, we used to milk by hand.
Yeah. How long did it take you to milk a cow?
Me?
Mm-hmm. Hand.
4 or 5 minutes.
I remember a few times when we first came up here when the power went off and we milked. We milked everything by hand. Remember that a few times.
Yeah.
But that's hard when you're not used to it, because your wrists aren't used to it.
Yes, your wrists
are dead. But when I was young, I was about 17, I used to go and help a fellow milk Holsteins, I guess, a pedal a bicycle for about 2 miles. And he had 31 Holsteins, and he and I milked them by hand twice a day.
Yeah, it only takes, milking machine takes about 3 or 4 minutes.
Well, it depends. Come girls get used to it all, and then cursed that take forever.
Yeah, well, some are a little slow, I guess, at letting their milk down, mm-hmm. and they, but it doesn't take it long. What do you think of all the changes they're making in technology with breeding and breeding these super cows and cows that are going to give twice as much milk as everything else?
There's been great improvements. A lot of the breeds of ours, our own breed has increased, I think it's 67%. And most all the other breeds are about almost the same.
Mm-hmm. But then now they're doing a lot of genetic work.
Manipulation.
Yeah. And manipulation. Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean by manipulation?
Well, they're going to breed super cows that may have 6 teats instead of 4.
I haven't heard that junk yet. That must have come out of the government.
And they're...
They don't even want to think about things like that.
They'll be able to...
Of the best cow, that kind of thing.
I think it's possible. It will be possible to split embryos and have identical twins and identical calves born.
Yeah. And just calves or.
Well, I suppose they'll eventually they will sex them probably.
Yeah. Now, what do you? I'm just kind of asking you what you feel about things like that.
I don't know.
They're doing it with people now too, but they're also going to be doing it with cows.
I don't know what it's going to do really.
I don't like it.
You think we're playing with...
playing it being God.
Yeah. Although you've got to maybe, I don't know, the argument is there's technology improvement. We're going to be able to produce more milk for the people of the world, so to speak.
But the people of the world can't afford to buy anything. And there's where the big hitch is.
They should be spending their money trying to fix up stuff for these people.
We can't
that
give it to them.
Use. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of those people can't even drink milk. They can't, because their constitution isn't geared up to it. Well, that's right.
A lot of countries, they've been exporting powdered milk and done them a lot of good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right that a lot of times, grain, they haven't been able
to
tolerate. Yeah, it's the milk we ship that the powdered milk even reconstituted. They're not used to it. They're not used to the grain and bread and or whatever we're sending them.
Yeah.
And it makes them sicker rather than
makes them better. That's right. They should be sending in the expertise to show them how to do things there, plant trees.
These things take time too.
Yeah. But with these super cows and modern technology, they're going to be able to produce, maybe in 10 years or 12 years, it won't be unusual for a Holstein maybe to give 150 pounds milk or it's going to be all utter
the poor cows, all I can say.
I don't know whether the cows stand up to it or not.
The cows
today are milking well over 100 pounds.
Yeah. Ayrshire, I'm sure, has increased in size too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably as big now as Holsteins were 20 years ago. But some of these technology changes have had a lot of controversy associated with it. Yes, but it's difficult, especially if you're a dairy person and you want the same improvements in the herd, but it's not easy.
I don't know their standard though. I mean, they could have defined that you've got to have type to go with all this milk. I mean, the government people just think that you can go and just produce her milk. I mean, breed a cow for milk purposes. Doesn't matter what the hell she's got under her, you know. I mean, whether she's got legs under her, udders under her, or anything else. But now they're being find out that you've got to have open.
Yeah.
A certain extent.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, one thing that's very controversial these days, is use, I guess, in the 40s and 50s was the big start of using chemicals and fertilizer. And I know this is probably a sensitive question for a farmer, but there's a lot of controversy now about our use of chemicals and fertilizers and,
yeah,
and that kind of thing.
A lot of people that are trying to do, what do you call this, farming?
Organic.
Organic farming.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about it?
And
I'll bet you in another 10 years that's what it's going to be, too.
Well, you can bet if you want. I'd say that half a lot of people are starving to death in the world today, but there'd be a hell of a lot more starving to death if they go back to organic farming. Because in the first place, the health requirements would be about double or triple what they are now in order to grow the same amount of stuff. And there isn't any farming. Nobody's going to want to work for farmers for the amount of money that it takes to produce this stuff. They, you just can't do it.
But you think fertilizers and weed killers have that much effect on the grain as this?
Oh, yes, they do.
That you produce a much better crop with them than without. Working on natural.
One of the worst things that when we used to be started with grass killers and weed killers and that, but one of the worst things is quiet grass.
Twist.
Yeah, well, if you don't get rid of that, you can't grow crop, period. No, we all used to use atrazine. We used to use a crop of corn first and get 2 years of spray on atrazine, the first year heavy and the next year lighter, and then go to green grain or something else and seed it down. Eh? But you pretty well clean the field up that way, or take a lot of it out.
Yeah.
Some people can go to do it. Some of them are going to round up some lately. But
do you think of all this controversy on chemicals and...
I would much prefer to see organic farming.
Yeah.
And I do think that I don't think that it would go back to the way it was before.
What do you mean?
Oh, come up with, I mean, just because you do organic farming doesn't mean to say you can't use like biological things will get rid of your weeds. That
the environmentally safe, the ones like they come out with, like rotenone is organic. It's a weed killer. I use it in my garden, but it's made out of chrysanthemums.
Yeah,
well,
it's not poisonous.
That will kill lice with on cows?
Yes.
Rotenone?
Yeah.
But it's safe. It's organically safe.
Except.
And you say that it'll kill weeds?
Well, no. Oh, yeah, I use it in my garden all the time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What can you spray with it that won't die?
I put it on everything.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's only toxic to fish and pigs if they are little. You have to watch them. But fish, and it doesn't like fish. Will kill fish.
Yeah, so if you sprinkled it in a pond, it'd kill the fish.
Yeah, it would. But it's organic. It's made out of some kind of chrysanthemum or some kind of plant.
Yeah.
But you buy it in Ritchie's for a weed killer for your garden.
So what do you do?
I don't buy the lice powder, but I'm sure it's the same thing. The stuff I buy at Ritchie's is the lice powder that I use on the cattle is, well, dry kill.
Yeah.
I don't use that in my garden because I'm not sure if the percentage is different. I haven't really looked.
Yeah.
But the stuff I use in the garden, I just get at Ritchie's, is kind of brown. It's a brown type of powder. But
that's
it works.
Killer is kind of brown too.
Yeah, so it might be the same, like
Coopers.
Probably. Yeah, but it's well known. It's biological.
Well, by golly, I'll have to go and get some of that. I don't like weed.
It's not a weed killer. It's about for bugs and stuff.
Oh, it's not a weed killer.
No, it won't kill your weeds.
Oh well, hell, you've got to do something to keep the weeds down, or else the plants don't.
It's called hard work.
Yeah, that's just what I mean, obviously, too. You get out in the field there, say you're growing 50 acres of corn. You've got to sow that and cultivate it and so on. Well, how many hands are you going to have to do that?
Okay. Would not cultivating it once or twice do the work?
Well, didn't Ashton used to do? He never used to spray.
Sure he did.
Ashton?
Yes.
I'll change the subject here.
Well, first of all, would you like a cup of coffee or tea? Or
I would,
what would you like?
A tea is fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But you're the
just to kind of end up here, now I've lost my train of thought. I'm on this environmental kind of kick here, but I'm sure I'll think of what I was going to say here. I think with the organics, they're probably going to eventually invent things that are safe, environmentally safe.
Well, I know they've been saying that for 10 years now. They haven't come out with it.
Yeah, but
wishful thinking, are they?
Yeah, in some ways.
I just soon do away with these sprays.
Yeah.
And,
but it's the same thing with cattle. There's also kind of controversy about what we feed cattle and the antibiotics we use in our animals.
Yeah.
Whether they're safe for people or
well,
I mean, they banned that rovermycin a few years ago. We used to use that a lot.
You mean in year beef cattle?
No, not tags. Rovermycin, remember, you used to, when they got pneumonia or something?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
They banned that. And that was one of the best drugs they ever had.
Yeah.
They are starting to worry, like, I thought about this today. I was in the vet. I bought, you know that Ivermec?
Yeah.
Well, now you can get it pour on, eh?
Oh.
Which is a lot easier than getting a needle. And, it works, it kills lice as well as a lot of other things. So we use that instead of spot on. Yeah, well, we use it instead of spot on because it does a lot more.
It gets internal parasites.
As well, yeah.
That's the key there.
But anyway, we got the first carton, it's just come out on poron, so it's easier to use that than it is to get a needle. And I was thinking all the way home, I can't slaughter this animal for 50 days.
2 months.
That is so you can imagine what chemicals it must be pretty strong in that.
And they got to do that in the fall, either
way. Well, we'll do it now and then we'll do it again in the fall. I just don't want to kill lice that's been there over the winter.
Oh, well, I was going to say that anything's got larval flies in them, you might kill the animal.
No, it's safe now. I asked about larvae today. They said
larvae are through their throat and into their back. Then.
Yeah, we have a few with larvae, and so I asked the vet. I said, "Is it safe to do?" And it's only not safe up till they said February, March, but they say it's safe now.
From about December till February, March.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do it. So we'll do Ivermec now for the summer, and then we'll do it in the fall again. And the only thing you can't use it on is. Breeding dairy cattle, they say. Why, I don't know. Dairy cattle breeding age.
When milking cows are milking cows.
No, you can't when they're milking, but it says dairy cattle of breeding age.
What should that?
So I said, well, I wonder if that means beef, too.
Look at that sky.
Looks windy, does it?
Oh, well, it looks like a bloody thunderstorm.
Well, it was supposed to be thunderstorming today.
I hope not. We've got more animals come inside and trying to get our barn cleaned out for the winter. And every time they come in, they just mess it up more. And I'd like to keep them out.
Yeah.
But you can't. We don't have a loafing barn. We just open the end of the barn and let them come in. It was just such a
fun. Over it.
We should. Once the weather gets actually nicer, I think I will. It's just
like little satin dairy cows turned out now. They got no protection.
No? Well, Joan says I'm
going to. Well, we never do during the summer.
They have soft hearted.
I know.
When it rains, I like.
And they open shut.
Yeah, I know. I feel so sorry for them.